I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Oh, boy.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this? Aren't there PR people? That's the thing. So I haven't been as much calling for Ham's job as maybe the three of you or others on Lakers Twitter. But like I haven't really called for his job in that way. It's just the public kind of relations part of this. It feels like Darvin gets up there and he's shocked at the question that comes up. How do you not know this Anthony Davis question is not coming? Like, I just don't understand. He acted like that came out of nowhere.
He knew it was coming.
Yeah, but he went into like
response.
He went to fight or flight mode and went, "Oh no, my coaching staff? No, we're like we have them prepared. We actually pride ourselves on that."
It would be like if he said, "Like I thought Anthony Davis was terrible on defense tonight." Like, you know, like Anthony Davis is not going to be like, you know what? I think coach had a point. You know, he's going to be like,
done that before though. Like he has
also
taken accountability that he wasn't good enough.
Phil Jackson used to say that about guys all the time.
Most guys do not do that in the 2024 NBA where they call out directly a specific player by name, you know, and that's essentially what Anthony Davis did, you know?
I've definitely heard Anthony Davis say, like, we weren't good enough defensively, and that starts with me at some point.
But again, that's me taking accountability for, like, the team-wide, like, I have to help us be better, whatever. Yeah. That's different than, you know, just basically being like, hey, you know that one job that you're supposed to have? Like, you didn't do it, and the whole team knows it.
But there are coaches who take accountability.
I hate that I feel like I'm defending Darvin here. It's just like, he's like, again, he's fighting for, you know, let me advocate for the devil again, my specialty on this show. I just think that it's like this is for his next job interviews, is like he doesn't want that narrative out there of, you know, I do not prepare teams, because like that's the one thing a coach is supposed to do. And so, you know, of course he's going to take exception to that.
Yeah, I didn't take that as a shot to Darvin, though. Like,
Exactly. That is going to be bad enough for the resume.
Yeah, right. Like,
owners that are going to hire him next watch the tape?
Well, I mean, they'll watch one of the 10 games and get a good sense of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go back to being a lifelong assistant coach again. Like, by the way, being an assistant coach in the NBA, not like a knock, you know? Like, there are coaches who are just better at being assistant coaches, and he's clearly one of them. You know,
it's like what's it called? The Peter principle, where everyone eventually gets promoted sort of like one level above their competency. Like he was very clearly a good lead assistant. I just think that maybe we have learned that he is not a great head coach. You know,
that's a really mean way to you know, explain my dismissal by Box. And, you know, it's just
those were your words, not mine.
No, but I like that's the part of this that with Darvin, because in that role where all he has to do, right? Like Harrison, you and I have talked about this, where it's pretty clear now that it took Bud's like ability to think the game and Darvin's selling ability. And that's like those two combined to be one good coach, you know, and both of those guys, like those guys, when they are separated from each other, really miss the other half. Like there's real value in being that assistant coach who relates to the guys, being the former player who relates to the guys and kind of translates the crazy stuff that the head coach says, you know, however they say it, and gets to the players and helps them relate with this person that they might not have as much in common with. Like if that is Darvin, if that's what Darvin is special at, which it appears he was really special at it.
Or,
like
again, even being the head coach and having a bunch of assistants who are really good at the stuff that maybe you're less good at.
Well, it is. There's going to be plenty of time to kind of like diagnose and go through the run of mistakes that led the Lakers to this point. But the Lakers never employing a former NBA head coach with Darvin Ham is legitimately unfathomable.
I mean, they tried for months. I was thinking about this today, and you know, I saw the clip of Rasheed Wallace that was going viral, and like he was going to be a Lakers assistant coach, and today he was like saying that the Lakers need to put Nikola Jokic in more pickle rolls.
I would love to figure out what happened there, because he was about to be a Lakers. He was the first person that Darvin Ham announced.
Our buddy Cran just did like a thread on like his high school basketball coaching record, and his team had a losing record.
Oh, no. I know. That's Rasheed Wallace, the coach. But like, I want to know, because remember, that was the first name that Darvin mentioned.
I think Rob read the thread. He's like, oh, God, this is not good. He was losing in high school.
If Rob is reading Tim's threads, then other things should be happening, frankly.
They would never freelance, for one thing. But yeah, the whole Darvin AD thing, and like, I don't care about a player and a coach not necessarily being on the same page, especially this coach and these players, because they haven't been on the same page since like October. But the part of it that annoys me here, Sabrina, and the part of it that I can't quite like just dismiss, is the role that the organization plays here, where rather than just step back, just like let this take place. You don't have to talk to Greenberg. You don't have to leak that you're unhappy here. You could just let this story go by. Rather than do that, they take the opportunity to crap on the star player, who, by the way, was the only one who gave a shit in this game tonight. Like, Anthony Davis was the only one who actually competed.
Yeah. I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I mean, it makes you think that they're not interested in firing Darvin if they're going to bat for him against Anthony Davis, right?
Yeah.
Which is what a terrifying
thought. Thanks, Sabrina.
All right. On that note, we're all going to get out of here. And
my issue with this whole thing is like star players and coaches, they have their disagreements. They have their back and forths. It just feels like we go through a lot of passive aggressive stuff, like Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra, right? Spoelstra is lauded as the best coach in the league, maybe best coach ever, just beat the Celtics on the road without his best player. Jimmy Butler and Spoelstra had like a public yelling and screaming at each other, just cussing it out. Right?
Tried to fist fight.
Right. Great. And but they deal with it right there and then, right? There's a disagreement. We're going to get through that. There's a communication. I feel like with us and just the culture that has been set, maybe it's a lot of passive aggressive. There's a D'Lo going to the media after his 40-point game saying Dennis Schroeder was the reason I can't talk to my head coach. Like, how is that? Miles Turner
were good, by the way. Like, when he gave that interview, the Lakers were actually playing good basketball.
Exactly. And so it's a lot of this just passive stuff and these like side quotes to media members, like through sourcing, right? And some of the stuff that
I've seen Dennis try to box out. There's no way that he's that good at it. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like,
but this spills onto the floor. Like, I was watching this game live with Anthony on playback, and I said, there's no reason D'Lo should be taking a heat check with no points. Like, that, there needs to be a communication that happens. And I understand, like,
it's like when you're turning the stove on, you know, sometimes you got to see if it's hot yet. Putting your hand on it.
D'Lo, Dinwiddie, and Gabe kind of personify to me what's wrong just in terms of the communication of this team. They take shots they have no business taking. Taurean as well. Even he made two shots in the fourth quarter. They were terrible process, good result shots. And that's what I see continuously happening.
Fight for Darvin's job. It's time to say
no. Yes.
And again, not to you know, give the devil a lawyer or anything like that, but like, just really quick. Quickly on with Darvin stuff, I don't know how to blame him for D'Lo, like a player that averaged 18 points a game in the regular season, shot 42% from three on pull-up jump shots, going to a complete zero against a team. I don't know how to put that on Darvin. I don't know where to like pass blame. But the point I go to is a coach at least should have an open line of communication, or at least between your stars, right? There's no way that like these shots should be happening. If AD doesn't touch the ball for a fourth quarter, somebody tell him, somebody go get him the basketball. How do we hear about this at the end of the game? And how is the whole story after the game? Oh, well, we wanted to run it through LeBron posting up KCP. There's like 12 assistant coaches. There's LeBron there. There's AD there. There's other basketball minds on the bench. How is that the conclusion we come to? I don't get it. And then AD just becomes a bystander in that. And I have to be like, hey, I want my star to demand the ball. And people tell me like, you know, stop blaming AD. I'm not blaming AD. Just, I don't get how there's no communication. They sit right next to each other. I shouldn't have more conversation with JHS and our stars have with our coach. That doesn't make any sense. Like, it feels like there's no communication going on with any of our players. So I don't know. It's hard for me to like parse blame with there, but the communication to me is strange. And I think they're going to fire Darvin Ham and bring in another coach. Maybe Darvin Ham moves to the assistant with Coach Bud as our head coach. Who knows, like, how this...
God, no.
No. Darvin can't remain in the organization.
You can't demote the guy.
If they just... They're like, no, well, you know, you're under contract. Like, we did, you know...
Actually.
You oh, my God. Work. It's like when Jason Kidd made Lawrence Frank do the scouting reports after hiring him as, like, God. His lead assistant. He's like, no, you're going to be a remote scout for us, actually.
No, I want to go back to something that Raj said there. Like, you can't blame Darvin solely when your starting point guard, guy who averages almost 20 points a game for you, disappears again, right?
And actually, should we retroactively credit Darvin? Did he see this coming before anyone else, and that's why he benched them, you know?
No.
Okay.
He knew Cam Reddish was the answer, you know, playoff riser.
Well, like that was actually a point that was being made at the time, if I remember correctly, right? It was can you really blame the guy for trying to find other solutions given the way that the last playoff series, I think Sabrina, you made that point. And I actually think it's a logical point. Like, I don't think it's illogical, but, that's the part of this while I was watching this game, you guys know the way that my brain works. I love the microtransactions. I love, you know, what comes next and how to rebuild. How do you like, cause blowing it up realistically, not an option. And, you know, the last conversation I believe that we had, or that, Rome and Raj and I had, was on how last off season impacted the way, or is having its impact on the way that the series is going so far. And, you know, right now D'Lo, I think because of the way that he played in this series, probably has to opt into his contract. Like, I don't think any team is going to be interested in paying him long-term after seeing him disappear again. He's too old to believe he's actually going to improve. He's too talented, I think, to help you tank. And yet he has this very clear ceiling that like the tougher these games get, the tougher the opponent gets, the likelier, or if not, the more inevitable it becomes that he is going to disappear. And while I was watching this, all I kept thinking is like who are the two-way role players on this team? Actual two-way impact players. And how do the Lakers have none? And how does the front office that put together a roster that got swept last year out of the playoffs by this very same Denver Nuggets team not put more effort into finding more two-way impact players rather than hoping certain guys grow into those two-way players? They had the assets to do it. You had a first-round pick that you turned into Jalen Hood-Schifino. It's not even that I dislike the Jalen Hood-Schifino pick. I'm not a draft guy. I don't know shit about it. I was rooting for them to draft Jaime Jaquez because I'm a UCLA fan because I'm a Mexican. But outside of that, like, that was the extent of my draft analysis. With the choice to use that pick rather than combine it with some expiring money to bring in another rotation player, somebody in that $20 million range, and by choosing to draft Jalen Hood-Schifino and let those $20 million in expiring money expire and take away that margin for error for you, like the front office that does that, the front office that fires Frank Vogel, the front office that fumbles Ty Lue in order to get to Frank Vogel, the front office that trades for Russell Westbrook, the front office that lets Alex Caruso walk, the front office that extends Talen Horton-Tucker instead of Alex Caruso when you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to choose between the two of them, but they so blindly followed the marching orders of ownership to, you know,
Alex Caruso wasn't even going to play behind Kendrick Nunn. So
it's a good point. You know, this front office that hires Darvin Ham and is now going to have to fire Darvin Ham with 2 years on his contract. Why? Like, I don't understand why this isn't a larger talking point here within Lakers Twitter. Why does Rob Pelinka why is it just accepted that this guy gets to run the Lakers next year? This makes no sense to me. This guy has fumbled. He had a championship team, a team coming off of a championship. Now, granted, the one thing that you can say about the very next year is that they started within like five business days. And that put in an otherworldly amount of stress on that roster coming off of that championship run.
Still finished with the number one defense in the league. One
season was his mistake. I think it was everything after that.
Well, but like, that's the thing is that like it took all of 2 years to basically arrive at a place now where you only have two returning players from that championship team. Like there is no semblance of that championship team, not even including the core, and the Lakers have nothing to show for it. Nothing but mediocrity to show for in the regular season, LeBron James and Anthony Davis being on your roster. Like, Sabrina, why is this something that just gets like widely accepted? And is it just because of Kobe? Is that it?
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine this week who's not a huge NBA fan, more of like just a Rockets fan. And he was saying that, yeah, like, doesn't Pelinka get the credit for the title? And I was like, no, I don't know where this is coming from.
Yeah.
But please do not ever suggest things like that in front of me again. Like, it's not going to end very well.
It's like, in retrospect, like, if DeMarcus Cousins doesn't get hurt, which opens up the door for them to sign Dwight Howard, who ended up being one of their best signings. And if Avery Bradley doesn't skip the bubble so that Frank Vogel can't play him over Alex Caruso, like, does that team win the title? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly,
they were
still, I'm not
really
like
good.
Arguing like that was like before the bubble, doing, yeah. You know?
No, I mean, Anthony. I don't understand why it's accepted that Rob Pelinka should keep his job. I mean, you listed everything. We didn't even get to like promising Andre Drummond a starting job to get him to sign with you just because Marcus All had COVID. Mm-hmm. Trading a first round pick to get Dennis Schroeder to be what, your backup point guard, but then not even your backup point guard. Oh my God, it's just getting worse. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right that it's just the association with Kobe, because like I can't think of a single smart thing Rob Pelinka's done other than get out of the Russell Westbrook mess. But even then, they didn't take advantage of any of those gains, right? Because like, they got Bamba right from that trade deadline. They got Malik Beasley from that trade deadline, and both of those salaries turned into nothing, right?
No, they kept, it's even more depressing than that. You have to remember, they kept THT over Alex Caruso in a self-imposed choice, then traded him for Patrick Beverley, who they then traded for Mo Bamba,
right,
who they then just cut.
So Talen Horton-Tucker turned into absolutely nothing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they found like a good bargain in Lonnie Walker right on that $6 million mid-level. I think it's the only good mid-level signing the Lakers have had in the Rob Pelinka era. And apparently they alienated him so thoroughly that he wanted to go to Brooklyn on a minimum instead of staying with the Lakers for more money, which is just wild to me. I'm with you. I don't understand it. I like, you can't look at this roster and say that this is the product of smart team building. Like, this is the product of LeBron James being the greatest player of all time or second, and Anthony Davis being just a tremendous player too. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah. Like, I've been, that's one of the things that I've been, because, you know, as the Lakers have been kind of marching towards being swept, I've obviously done some digging into the future of Darvin Ham. It's not hard to see that at this point where that's heading. But the next question that I have is, like, why should Rob be the person to hire their next coach? What has he done to show in terms of, like, if this was an actual meritocracy, what has he done to show that he should be tasked with finding that next head coach? And, you know, the people I talk to around the league is like, nothing. What did he do in the first place to show that he should have gotten this job? Right. Like, and what did he do when Magic Johnson, what's that?
Show up to work.
Show up to work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he was in the building
compared to the other guy.
Again, we're talking about low bars here. It's like, you know, he was like there you most days of the week. You know,
I mean, I also thought, like, this kind of fell under the radar or whatever, but I DM'd it to Harrison, you know, Darvin Ham firing everything, like just fighting for his life, saying that he's using Mamba mentality to creep back into the series, you know, like, everybody knows what it takes to remain employed by Genie Bus. Like, that's all it takes.
That was where I was going to push back on Sabrina about, like, he hasn't done anything smart. You may not think so from a basketball team building perspective, and I'd be inclined to agree with you on many of those points. But the thing that he did that was smart was figure out that I actually think Palinka's really smart, and I think that
politically, absolutely.
That's what I mean.
He's a very successful agent.
That he exists in a culture of nepotism and cronyism, where if he just doesn't make anyone feel threatened, he's willing to take all the public arrows for, you know, anyone above him. He's willing to, you know, let Kurt do whatever he wants and feel like he's a part of things, and let Jeannie and Linda, you know, like, or like mostly Jeannie, I guess, like, just cheap out on things and whatever. And like, and just be like, yeah, you know, it was a basketball decision. We only have so many assets that we want to use, and, you know, we have to use them smartly. And, you know, that's a great question, Dave, but we just got to be really smart about how we, you know, sort of like, we only have so many bullets, and we have to be cautious about when we fire them, and da 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 da, and like sort of like defend these like financial decisions from as being about basketball team building by like using a lot of big words and that like come from the CBA and whatever. And like, I think he's like shown that he's willing to be like a meat shield, which ultimately, you know, so sort of he's like an agent for the organization, you know, like he's willing to be the bad guy and willing to take the giant paycheck and willing to sort of, you know, do what he can. Like, I don't think that he's like totally inept. I think he's made some good basketball decisions and like some decent signings around the fringes and whatever. He clearly played a part in building that 2020 title team, no matter how much credit you want to give him for it. But, you know, I think he also is a guy that you can see the sort of, I was talking with a friend about this yesterday, like, you know, how does he keep signing all these like guards and stuff like that? And it's like, well,
what
you know,
are they looking at after this year, Harrison? Right after the season ends, they're going to pursue Trae Young and Donovan Mitchell.
He's an agent, and those are the guys that got him paid. And so, of course, that's the type of basketball player he's going to gravitate towards, or the ball dominant, the skill guys, the like the guys that can go get a bucket, the guys that can make plays, whatever. And so, of course, he's going to overvalue that, because that is sort of like what he came up through of being the most valuable for him. And he sort of GMs like he's still an agent, and he gets a commission on these guys' next contracts. Like,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say with Rob.
I actually have a question to you, Raj, building off of this, because one of the things that Harrison and I have talked about and marveled at most, and I think, like, at this point, I obviously, you guys who've been listening long term to our shows, right? I'm the one who gets heated, and I'm the one who flies off of the handle. But the most, I think, flustered and angry that Harrison ever gets is when we again point out the fact that it is LeBron James and Anthony Davis who have to prove to Rob Pelinka that they are worth investing in. And like, Raj, you are the basketball nut here, right? You are the person who watches and rewatches and rewatches the rewatch to watch how special these guys are, and sees on a nightly basis how special those two human beings are. And how extraordinary it is that LeBron James heading into year 40 is being asked to do it again, and how Anthony Davis plays the most games in a season this year that I think he ever has before, and all they have to show for it is a first round exit. And yet once again, they will have had to prove to Rob Pelinka that they are worth investing in this offseason. Like, to you, the basketball person, that has to drive you insane, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, it's just how much grace does a conference finals and a title give you, right? And I think LeBron and AD, like, they had to show that they could stay healthy. I think that's what the front office wanted to look at. And, I think that's a fair ask to see, can they play this amount of games? And I thought last year they did. And I thought the moves over the summer were fine. I thought there would be an upgrade at the trade deadline. I understood, like, the logic why they didn't. I think Denver's just a really, really tough matchup. But no, I think they should go again. And you're on LeBron James' timeline, right? I also think, like, you talked about Trae Young and Donovan Mitchell. Those aren't guys also that I think change our life versus Denver in a very meaningful way. Like, I think
So if the goal,
like, let's say we played Denver in the second round and we got swept, like, we got the result that we'd eventually would get to, right? And I think the answer is, how do you beat Denver? And I don't think we'll go this route, because I just think Pelinka, again, doesn't think this way. He reset the team after a championship. He's not going to keep the same team after a first round sweep. But I think it's important. Like, I hope the only thing
he,
I hope.
I mean, he kept a bunch of the team after the first rough year. So I don't know. I mean,
that's true. That there is a possibility there, but I hope it's not the only thing we learn is that we're not good enough to beat Denver. Like, we made a lot of mistakes in the regular season. We made a lot of mistakes in terms of prioritizing the regular season. Obviously, the lineups, obviously the coaching is all in question. But I don't think Rob's going anywhere. I bring this up all the time when Yeah, because I think we forget, hashtag never forget, but, like, we forget how chaotic that 2019 to 2020 summer really was. And when Magic Johnson went on, you know, national TV and basically took a torch and tried to burn down everyone. And I remember there was a report, I think it was from Ramona, like, she literally tweeted out they were in, like, some office huddled up together. And I think Rob showing that, you know, I can get out of that and win a title, I think that bought him a lot of room and a lot of room for error. I also fear, like, if Rob is fired, do they just, like, tell Kurt Rambis, get in the front seat and drive? Like, I'd be really nervous about that.
I'm disappointed that Kurt Rambis is apparently too smart to try and install himself as the coach. Like, because he realizes that then people would, like, actively, like, sort of, like, real, like, you know, like, fans that are at Staples Center tonight chanting Fire Darvin would start to realize, like, oh, wait, why does this guy have such a big role in the organization? Where, like, right now he can just sort of stay in the background and, you know, GM.
The shadow GM forever and always.
One of the funny trends over the course of the year is that, like, all year, basically, the two loudest voices in the room, right, Jeannie and Rob, have stood up for Ham all throughout the year. And I was like, okay, so that would probably mean that everybody in that inner circle probably is pro Ham. And occasionally you would get the occasional pushback of, like, well, there's one person who might not be, and we can kind of you
Kurt
guys
Rambis, Laker savior.
Well, but that's the thing, you know? Though, is that, like, you know, and I would say, like, oh, like, Kurt isn't, like, does Kurt want to coach? And the pushback I would get is, God, no. Why would he like demand a demotion to a more stressful job given how cush his current lifestyle is? Like, Kurt doesn't want to coach.
More
he just doesn't think Darvin
too.
Can.
Yeah. I
What's
don't.
That?
He probably makes more than Darvin does, is my guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
God, I mean, he's an inner circle sitter guy. I don't know, but, like, I that's the all of the stuff that we're talking about here, right? The conversation about, like, well, Rob Pelinka is going to remain in his current position because reasons, and we continue the conversation from there.
Willing
and all
to
of
let
a sudden
Kurt, you know, sort of tell him what to do, you know. Like, if you hired, like, Bob Myers or someone with, like, a resume, like, they probably wouldn't be down for that.
Oh God, yeah, like, that's one of the things. Like, that was one of the things that Harrison, you and I talked about years ago.
It's like, that's why,
that, like,
Frank
the last
about
thing children
like,
want to do is
sure,
let
Kurt adult can sit in on the coaching meetings, you know. That's fine. Yeah, I don't
sure
I don't
we
know,
can
like,
hire Jason Kidd as my lead assistant, even though I know he's going to take my job when
yeah,
you're
right. It's fine.
Like, the last thing children ever want is an adult in the room to tell them what to do. Like that's how this goes. But, like, that's the, like, when we talk about how does a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on it lose to the same team? What was it, 11 straight times now? It's going to be 12 on Saturday. How does that happen?
No, I don't know. They're gonna they might shock the world.
We've lost to Reggie Jackson 17 times in a row, for what it's worth.
Such an amazing stat. But like, but when people sit there and wonder, because I know I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and I'm gonna get a text from my dad and he's gonna be like, how have we lost to those guys this many times in a row? And the answer is
that accidentally at some point you'd sort of seize upon the idea that, like, you know, you just hit enough shots to beat them, you know?
No, like foul trouble hasn't mattered. Injuries haven't mattered. It doesn't, like, shot variance doesn't matter.
They are better than the Lakers in every way. It is sort of remarkable.